I started talking to Rose about, let me start from Ephesians. This just occurred to me on my seat. Ephesians. I started talking to Rose about steps to efficient prayer, how we can have results in prayer. And one thing that I suppose should have been apparent to all of us, I wouldn't know whether you've gotten that, but I want you to get it. One thing that should be apparent to all of us is the fact that it appears that you cannot pray effectively if you are not a student of God's word. Have we all gotten that? You know, from what I've taught so far, there's no way you can have results to prayer. You know, like Hannah said, this I pray for. There's no way you can have this I prayed for if you are not a student of God's word. And so there's a connection between studying God's word and then praying. You know, that's the critical thing that we should all have taken out from it. The second thing is what I want to bring out very quickly. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. You see what the Bible says there? Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If you are in church on Sunday, this should be relevant to you now. You know, because I was talking about the throne power. So the devil has no power. The power that we claim that he has is the throne. When you're talking about principalities and powers, they've been dethroned, even though they control the cosmos, but they've been dethroned. Believers should know that. That's a secret that the devil does not want a believer to know. So you think that we still attribute power, we still attribute authority, we still attribute some greatness to the devil. Doing that, you're wrong. You are ignorant of the promises and the word of God. I show us conclusively in the scriptures on Sunday that every power that you think that the devil has, you know, are being robbed of him. You know, the Bible says he spoiled principalities and power. That's the way the Bible puts it. Spoiled principalities and power. And so, you see this place, the Bible says against the wiles of the devil. So therefore, because the devil knows that he's been spoiled, he knows that he has no power any longer, so what is resorted to are wiles, devices. They understand that. And that's why the Bible says we should not be ignorant. You know, in another place in the Bible, we say you should not be ignorant of the devices of the wiles of the devil. So he doesn't have power. But what he has are devices, are wiles, are schemes, you know, to make a believer to have an impression that he has authority over them. You know, and that is why it will be a believer that will actually activate what will now look like the power of the devil. Do you understand that? You need to affirm the wiles of the devil, and then you see the devil having authority over your life. Okay, so that's by the side. That's just to help people that miss church on Sunday, to make you to see that you are missing a lot. Verse 2, 12, now say, for we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, in other words, because of verse 12, there's verse 13. So he now says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, why I started from here is to give you a picture that prayer or having answers to prayer is a wrestle against satanic devices. Let me put it in another way. You see, the God of this world, the system of the world, is subject to the devil. Do you understand that? Is subject to the devil. And that is why, possibly you get tonight, that you see, an unbeliever who is sold to the devil is likely to have an easier path in life. Easier path than an ignorant believer. You know, because you now understand why the psalmist was saying that you should not fret because of an ungodly people. You know, because an ungodly person is likely to prosper faster, higher than a believer. Because an ungodly has aligned with the God of this world. Although we all forget that again, that the psalmist said, I've been jealous of an ungodly until I get into the temple and I see the head of an ungodly person. Do you see that? So for an ungodly person, is like our local parlance. Thief, carry him. Thief, collector, olegbe, olegba. You know, because the devil will grant you a speed, but that speed will lead to the destruction of your life. That's not what I'm about this evening. But what I'm about this evening is the fact that because it is the devil that is in control of the system of this world, for a believer to have a foothold to gain speed, therefore you need to wrestle against the devil. Did you get that? You need to wrestle. That is why the victory of Hannah was significant to her. It might not be significant. Look, when you have victory in prayer, it's significant to you. It might not be significant to some other people because you are the only one that will be able to say what you went through. So, a win for a Christian is a big deal. A win for a Christian is a big deal. You know, because the whole system of the world is set against the believer. The whole system of the world is set against you. You have the principalities that control, you know, areas. You have power, you know, that controls territories. And because they know that you bear the name Jesus, they are not going to allow you. That's what the Bible was saying to Moses. He said, it was warning Moses ahead. He said, Pharaoh will not allow you to go. He said, no, not by a mighty hand. So, in other words, Pharaoh is in possession of my people. Even though I've sent you, don't think because I've sent you, it's just going to be a walk in the park. They will not allow you to go, except there's a demonstration of a mighty hand. So, prayer is the coming of a mighty hand upon the rulership of Pharaoh, you know, in a man's life, in a community's life, or in a system. Prayer is the manifestation of the mighty hand of God upon the sea that wrought you victory. And that's the second thing. And that is why we therefore need to know, how can I pray effectively? Because you'll be frustrated. You're just saying that God does not answer prayer. When you don't know the how of praying, you just say, praying is out there, you don't get results, it's not relevant. You know? And that's why we're learning this. And the first thing I said to Ross last week is, no, 2 weeks ago, thank you, sir, for holding for last week, you know. Like I said, I had to travel, but I didn't factor in the logistics of the journey. I just put in my head the day of my program. I didn't know that, you know, I will not use Philip's. So thank you, sir. So the first thing is in prayer, therefore, is you must decide what you want and get the scripture for it. That's the first step in prayer. Decide what you want. And what you want, there must be God's word that promises you that. So you can't decide what you want out of your lust. You can't decide what you want out of your fear. You can't decide what you want out of your hunger. I don't know who I was talking to. I think last week or somewhere, you know. I had to talk to a lot of people in the last 2 weeks. But I was saying to this person, I don't know where and who, but I was saying that it is deadly for a Christian to take decision when you are pained. It has a lot of repercussions. As a matter of fact, a lot of Christians have brought curses upon themselves and their family, you know, because they took decision out of bitterness. You know, they were bitter, pained, disappointed, defeated, you know, and then they took decision or they say certain words. You don't do that. So you decide what you want and get a scripture. So I will now say this. You can never, and don't bother to have what the Bible does not promise you. You attempt to have what the Bible does not promise you will land you into witchcraft. You will begin to call upon an unknown God. So whatever is not there in the scriptures, don't bother. So the first thing is decide and then have a word for it. And I remember the statement I made. Incidentally, when Brafemi preached, I didn't know that I made the same statement. I rounded up 2 weeks ago by saying that the faith begins from where the will of God is known. That's where faith begins. I want to believe God. I want to trust God. It will start when you are sure of the will of God concerning a thing. So, when you are sure of the will of God concerning a thing, your concern will now be when and not if. Hello, somebody. The moment you know the will of God, it's no longer about if, it's about when. And that is why prayer becomes sweet when you have God's word. So let me tell you about four reasons why you must have God's word for anything that you want. Number one, you must have God's word because it is the word that promises you the certainty of that thing. It is the word. The moment you're able to have it from God's word, then you are sure that you have it. Number two, that you must have the word. When you have God's word for that thing you want, and then you will take God's word to God. Do you understand that? For example, you're trusting God for the fruit of the womb, and you don't have God's word for it. All that you'll be praying to God is that, Olua, so my kwe baba mi, olo bi mi, baba baba mi, lo bi baba mi, mi o defe ke aye ko ye ye mi, olo man je ki o duti mi, gogo yen, tori mi. You know what they said? It is amon, it does not stick to the body of the meat. Amon ni, which are right. Do you understand? You want a car. You don't have a word for it. Oluwa, iwo to se ti bra fe mi, se mo to temi na. Oluwa, ngba ti ru ta mo ti e fe da ko na. Ngba ti ru Tola ba ngun moto, abo le mi na wa se ni ngun moto. A Olorun, o gbodo wa fi asomo re. Oluwa bi fair, Oluwa bi fair, Oluwa bi fair, Oluwa bi fair. Do you understand that? Who are you talking to? But when you go before the Lord, and you remember, the Bible says, none shall be barren in the land. There's a promise. So, what God said is what we put to God's face. As a God, did you get that? That is another reason that you must have God's word. Number three, that you must have God's word. It is the war you will use against the fiery darts of the enemy. You know, because like I said to us, prayer is warfare. That's why I started from Ephesians chapter 6. Prayer is warfare. You see, having prayed, the devil will barrage you with physical things that we say. Romans chapter 4, if I can quickly just get that across. Romans chapter 4, from verse 10. How was it then reckoned when it was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? That's talking about faith of Abraham, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them. You can see imputed unto them. In other words, righteousness, they will inherit it. In other words, righteousness will be given them, not because they were circumcised or they were not circumcised, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. But the promise that he should be the heir of the word was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For there no law is, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to all, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written. Okay? I made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Great. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So, not weak in faith, he consider not his own body now dead. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, go back to where I started from. There was a promise. You know, and they thought the promise was for the circumcised and not for the uncircumcised. You know, and God, true, the apostle was explaining to us that it is not in faith, it is not about circumcision or uncircumcision. It is about your faith in God, faith of Abraham. And meanwhile, God had promised Abraham that he would become father of many nations. That was the promise God gave Abraham. But you see, in the walk of faith, I don't know whether I should just go there or just, you know, in the walk of faith, I spoke some about this on Sunday. What gives you the affirmation of your requests? It is not the physical thing. I want you to look at me and get it. What gives you affirmation? What says that you have it? Is not when you say, God, I believe you for a brand new car. I'm believing you for a brand new car because the Bible says, cattle on 1,000 hills belong to you. I believe you for a brand new car because the Bible says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. In Jesus' name, amen. It does not mean that a car will appear. But what gives me assurance that I'm going to have a brand new car is Matthew 7:7. So, I can give thanks to God that I have a brand new car. Not because I've seen the car, but because the Bible says, he that asketh, receiveth. So, I will say, did I fulfill the condition? In Matthew 7:7, I fulfilled the condition. So, Matthew 7:8 is guaranteed. Because he said, ask, you shall receive. So, I will now say, did I ask? I had. How did I ask? I have a scripture that promises me that thing. Then, how did I ask? Having gotten that scripture, I was specific in my request before God. So, the conditions of asking have been met. Or, you want to use what the Bible says, that if two of us shall agree on heart as touching a thing, it shall be done by Father in heaven. So, Eitayo, what is it that you want? You want to go to Canada. And I say, what are you going to do there? You know, I want to go and get a new job. Do you understand? And then, do you have certificate? I have certificate. I hope it's not somebody's head you want to use. It's not somebody's head. So in other words, the two of us, we have a shared understanding of that desire. So, I will now say, let's agree as touching that. No, because the Bible said, if two of us shall agree, so two of us. Concerning a thing, here or not, where are we, here or not? It shall be done by a Father that is in heaven. So, when we ask, it is done. Not because she has the visa yet, but we made the condition for that prayer. The Bible says, when you lay your hand upon the sick shall recover. I want to meet the condition. This sign shall follow those that believe. Am I a believer? I am a believer. In the name of Jesus, am I praying the name of Jesus? I am praying the name of Jesus. He said all those things, and when they lay their hands on the sick shall recover. You know, he did not say that when they lay hands and pray in tongues. When they lay hands upon the sick, so is he sick? If he's not sick, then misappropriation. But if he says, I'm sick, pastor, pray for me. And I say that scripture to him to know where I'm coming from so that he can meet me on where I'm coming from. They understand that? He recovers. Has the headache gone? No. But we met the condition of that scripture. So that headache had gone. If you got that, say amen. Now, that is the first step in prayer. That's why you need God's word. Because, so, when I lay my hands, and then the two of us had gone our various ways. When he gets home and the head is doing bang, bang, bang. In other words, the devil has come back. So, because there's a scripture, you will say that scripture to the devil. He said, devil, I don't have this headache any longer because the Bible says, if I lay my hands upon the sick, he shall recover. So, pastor has laid his hand upon me when I was sick, so I recover. So, where we have, so before I begin to put all the points together. So, that is the first thing. So, I was telling us the reasons why you must get the scripture. So, I said, number one, the scripture is critical in prayer because that's where faith will start from. Faith will come from God's word. What gives you, I can continue to teach this for the next 1 month. What gives you the energizer for you to pray? You get this dimension. The energizer for you to pray, it is the faith that you derive from that God's word that you discover. That's what make you to get mad at the devil. You know, you've been in poverty, you've been failing, and then suddenly you get to God's word. He said, because you have Christ, you have the mind of Christ, and you don't need anyone to teach you anything. You get mad. Now, you are getting mad not because you are having F9. You are getting mad because so, the secret of A1 is here in the Bible. So, you find out that when you have God's word, that's why you have the energy to pray. In other words, faith will arise in your heart because there's a word. So, we all have a gamut of unanswered prayers because we pray without having God's word for you. We pray out of itara. We pray out of, iyalo jemi to bayi. We pray out of, oluwaju amagbodo ti mi. We pray out of, bo ni kwen te mi o sheri ni ile baba mi. So all those, do you understand that? All those reasons to pray are good culturally. They are not good scripturally. The only way to pray and the right time to pray and when you are ready to pray is when you have a scripture for your desire. So in other words, don't allow your body to tao beyond you getting a scripture. So in other words, in prayer, there's no emergency prayer. There's no emergency prayer. Prayer is structured. That's what I'm teaching you. There's a way to pray. There's a way not to pray. If you want answer, there's a way to pray. Number two step to getting effective prayer or to have your prayer answered. So the first step is get God's word and know what you want. The second is pray specifically and believe you receive it. You know that it's a different thing for you to pray and for you to believe that you receive it. Do you know that? You know, a lot of us, we do prayer like kalo kalo. Do you understand? Let me pray this way. Praise be God, we answer. Let me pray that way. Possibly God will answer. You know? And that's why sometimes when God answers your prayer, you yourself, you are not sure he answered the prayer. Because after that prayer, there's no expectation. You just pray like religion. We must pray. You know? I don't want pastor to ask me, did you pray? So the second step to answer prayer is pray and believe that you receive. Praise the Lord. I want us to see two or three scriptures. The one that I've quoted that you know, but I'm going to start from there again. John chapter 16, 23. By now, everybody in this church, you know that. John 16, 23. I preach from this on Sundays. I preach from this and thought while we're studying Bible. But again, I'm going to start from there. You know, it's not too much. So the Bible says, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Full stop. Whatsoever you ask, he will give it you. And then next verse, it's at you ask not in my name, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So the will of the Father is for our joy to be full all the time. So when you go before him, because what God has done to us in John 16 here is like a rich man that gives you an open check. They understand all that you need to do is to fill any amount, just a check and a sign. So just fill any amount and take it to bank. That's what the Bible is saying here. God is saying that I have provision, more than enough provision, to meet all, listen to this, all your needs and all your wants. That's what Matthew 16 is saying to you. I have more than enough. You know, there's a difference between your need and your want. He's saying, I have all to meet your need and then to meet your excesses, as long as you have my word for it. So because two is built on one. So you can't just say, oh, he said whatsoever. Therefore, let me ask for the head of the president. KB is whatsoever. Mm-mm. That whatsoever is built on the fact that there's a promise of God for it. Matthew 7:7. That I quoted the other time. I want us to read it now. Matthew 7:7. What a blanket check. You know, he just asked you to do something about it. Matthew 7, ask, and it shall be given you. Do you understand that? Ask, and it shall be given you. He didn't say, go wash and come back to ask. He didn't say, get seven red candles and ask. Do you understand? What does it take you to ask? Ladies and gentlemen, open your mouth. That's what it takes you to ask. What does it take you? Ask. But what am I saying? Be specific about what you want to ask. Did you see that? What am I saying? Have a scripture for what you want to ask. So you are specific. You have a scripture, then ask. So it says, ask and it shall be given you. God is now saying that you can go to another level, seek and you shall find. Those are levels in prayer. You know, probably when you're talking about different types of prayer, I talk about this. But what I want you to get now is God has just given you that blanket. Ask. Seek. Knock. So, am I going to ask for you? Am I going to seek for you? Am I going to knock the door for you? Is that? You can see the folly of believers, therefore, that go to some prophet and some mountains and to apostles to say, Egbadura for me, Ibulowa no Bible. Show me every engagement after Jesus had made the ultimate price for you and I. Every engagement has been between you. Yeah, has been between you and God. Every engagement through Jesus Christ. Every engagement. And that's why I say, Tato, you haven't prayed in my name. Now. Do you understand? Now that I'm gone, pray in my name. I see the power of according to you. You pray in my name. So when you ask in the name of Jesus, he that hath it, receive it. When you knock in the name of Jesus, to him that knocketh, the door is open. When you seek in the name of Jesus, him that seeketh shall find. Anybody can say to you that? No, your asking is tied to your giving. What is it? You understand? You know, your knocking is tied to the kind of door, whether it's bulletproof door or iron door or agbariti wall. Agbariti wall. The Bible says, ask. Do you understand that? So, that was it. And the moment you ask, you believe that you receive and you have it. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Mark 11, 23. You need to hear this again because I think I've spoken from here, probably in church on Sunday or Bible study. But I want you to see this again. Probably if you missed it, or again, faith cometh by hearing and hearing. So you know faith cannot come by hearing words. So you hear and you get faith. For verily I say unto you that whosoever are you qualified? Whosoever is an English word, and is whosoever. In other words, whosoever is whoso, any person that dares, any person that is willing, any person that wants to try it, that's whosoever, shall say unto this mountain, they understand that, because they were just going. And they asked Jesus, you know, about certain things. And he just said to them, whosoever shall say to these two, did you get that? Be thou removed. Be thou cast into the sea. You can see that whosoever shall say. You see that the things that Jesus was referencing, they were specific things. Hello? Are you looking into your Bible? Or you are looking into my handsome face? Your Bible. He said, specific. He said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. It's not that. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou fidgeting. Be thou removed. So when you are removing, where are you removing to? And be thou cast into the sea. You see that in ye, get it. Kosi kilo so kilo mi or yibo olo one there. Be thou moved and be cast into the sea. Now see conditions. I begin to talk about from here from next week. And shall not doubt. Now, I talk about some warfare and prayer next week. Make sure you are here. Shall not doubt in his heart. So in my Bible, forever, he's be on the line. Nor doubt, then in his heart. You underline heart. Because, you see, to every prayer, doubts will come. But make sure that the doubt is kept in your head. If doubt is in your head, your prayer will still be answered. If doubt is in your heart, your prayer will not be answered. You know, because doubt will be in your head because you are living in the system of this world. But what concerns God is the doubt must not be in your heart, but shall believe. So, if I dealt with doubt, oh, my time had gone. Look at me. In the work of faith or getting answers to prayer, there's no vacuum. So, I don't doubt. So if I said, I said, are you okay? I say, I don't doubt. It's not complete. If you do not doubt, what is it that you are doing? So is this not enough for you not to doubt? Do you understand that? There must be something that must take the place of doubts. So it is not, for example, a good example is you have malaria fever, and I said, use amodiaquine. Or, what drug are you using? I said, Pastor, I'm not using any drug. But I see symptoms all over your body. What are you using? I shall know that I'm not using any drug. You end up using that drug. Because all of us will force you to use that drug. If you are not using that drug, so the next question is, what are you using? So, do not doubt in your heart, but what will be in your heart? Did you get that? So that's what the Bible is saying here, that not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. So you are not doubting, but what are you doing? You shall believe. So it's not enough to push away doubt. It is much more important to have faith in your heart. He shall have whatever I say. You can see those conditions. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever you desire, when ye pray. So, desire is this first step, isn't it? You are specific. And then your desire is not that my enemy die, because you don't have scripture to support that your enemy should die. So, those kind of prayer will not be answered. So, whatever you desire. So that desire is marked here too. There's a scripture. Do you understand? For the specific thing that you have. When ye pray, believe that ye receive and ye shall have. That's scripture. So, what gives you an assurance? It is your faith. It is not that manifestation. Because you remember the last time I spoke about this, so I will just round up here, and I will take it up, you know, next week. I will try to listen to this message. You know one thing about me? I don't like listening to my messages. I don't know whether some other preachers feel that same way. So I don't listen to my messages. Do you understand that? You know, because I'll be critical of myself. So but this way I'm going to start from next week. So you see what the Bible says? He says, you shall have them. I explained to you the other time that shall is a strong proverb. It's an auxiliary verb. Shall is a strong auxiliary verb that affirms that something will happen. But again, it's an auxiliary verb that shows that it's not happening immediately. Because shall is talking about future. But shall, he said, it is certain. But it is not immediate. So where we lose warfare in prayer, it is this space between I prayed, I believe, and shall have it. In prayer, you've had it. Because the Bible says, believe, you have it. So, the only thing that says you don't have it is if faith is not sure in your heart. I hope I'll be able to talk to Ross some days what assures you that you have faith. Because everybody said, I have faith. There are signs that show that you have faith. You understand? I talked to Ross. Somebody will to remind me. I talked to Ross about, you know, that shows you have faith. So, the moment you have faith, you have it. Do you have it physically yet? No. But I have it. Have you seen it? Not yet, but I have it. Let's go and ride inside your new vehicle that you said. You know, okay, come. Where's the vehicle? You don't see it. You haven't seen the vehicle. Look at it. You know why? Because I have it. That is the affirmation. So, next week, I talk about the next step, which is you must fight against the wiles of the devil. That's why I've been talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 10. How to deal with doubts and wiles of the devil in the place of prayer. God will always answer a prayer where he sees faith in it. Hallelujah. So let's go home. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Thank you. In your word, I have strength. In your word, I have encouragement. In your word, I have faith. Your word is ever true. Ever true. My experience will never say the word is not true. Whatever I'm passing through does not invalidate the word of God. The word is true. So I believe the word. I believe everything that the word says. And so I have it. Because the word of God has said it, I believe it and I have it. We give you glory to Jesus. Say to yourself, the word has said it. I believe it and I have it.